Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go back in our teaching again this morning, going back over to spiritual jurisdiction. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking into these areas, I guess, for a couple more weeks. We're going to be doing this. There's just things that God's been dealing with me about this. I thought about last week and Joe, what he was sharing really deals over. He talked really that has to do with the jurisdiction of man. In other words, parts that we have to play, what we have to do, and where our authority lies at. And we've been dealing a lot, looking at the areas dealing with God's authority or God's jurisdiction. And when we talk about spiritual jurisdiction, we're talking about the boundaries within which a spirit being has the right to command, enforce, intervene, or exercise authority in the realm of the spirit. And so we're looking at those. We're looking because God established boundaries of things. In fact, we looked at that because God established boundaries on himself of what he would do. And, you know, the Bible, you know, because people say, well, God can do anything. But God's limited and set his boundaries. There's boundaries. We looked at Satan and starting off at Satan's boundaries, where what Satan could do and what he can't do, what the Bible tells us. We're looking at the areas concerning God and dealing with man. And we talked the last time we taught here, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the will of man, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that again today. We want to look at some things concerning the will of man, because the will of man is so important, because God does not override the will of man. When people, Mike used a good term this morning here, he talked about the sovereignty of God. You know, God is sovereign, but we got to understand, too, is with sovereignty. God is sovereign in what he does. Many people, the terminology sovereign means to them that God can do what he wants, or God's in control of everything. Well, that's not true at all. That's not what the sovereignty is about. It's a misuse of the word. Sovereignty is misuse. God's word is sovereign. He will do what he said he would do. But there was requirements that we have about believing in things for him to do it for us. He's sovereign in that. He ain't going to change. See, people believe that God just, well, you know, sometimes he wants to heal somebody and sometimes he don't want to heal anybody. Sometimes, you know, he wants to bless somebody financially, sometimes he don't. Some people he wants to save, some people he don't. And people get over there, but we need to understand. See, they say, well, that's the sovereign God. That's not sovereign, that's called stupidity. And I'm talking about the person that believes that. I mean, who wants a God like that? A God where you have no choice, but he commands of you. Think about that. You know, you don't even know if he wants to save you and he tells you to live right. Well, who cares? Why should I live right for his benefit? You know, if he's going to make my life miserable, I'm going to make his miserable. I mean, it's sort of stupid. I don't get what people call in the idea of sovereignty. God is sovereign in what he does, and he's established lines of his sovereignty. And in our jurisdiction of God, we see these where God has set concerning sovereign principles down of how he operates and how he works. And we have to follow those. And he's sovereign in it. He's not going to change it for somebody. Many people expect God to change things for them. You know that, you know, well, if you even don't do it right, it don't matter. He'll bless you anyhow. Well, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen in that way. We found in looking at the will of man is the most powerful thing really in this earth. The will of man can stop the power of God from working. The will of man. Now, there's a day coming when man's, you know, so-called lease on this earth runs out, God's going to step in and straighten some things out. Then we're going to see how these people that like the God that can just do what he wants. We're going to see how they believe on that one. But, you know, we need to understand right now we're operating under this area and we call the grace of God and this grace that we live in right now. But this grace is limited to the will of man. No matter how much grace God gives, grace is limited to the will of man. Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Well, it doesn't mean that just because grace is abounding, it's taking over. It sure ain't taking over. Have you noticed? But a person who will believe and believe in the abounding grace of God, they can experience God's abounding grace where sin seems to be running rampant. And you can experience it. But it doesn't just run and overtake people. Have you noticed? It doesn't do that. So God has set limitations, and he's established the authority of man, and he hasn't changed that thing. So man's will is a hugely powerful, powerful thing. I sort of said it's like a detonator to dynamite. No matter how much dynamite or if you have plastic explosive, it doesn't matter how much you have. If you don't have a detonator to set it off, you can take it and throw the stuff around, do all kinds of things, and nothing happens to it. You know, you can take plastic explosives and throw it into a fire and it won't do a thing. But if you set the detonator off, God's power is much in the same way. It is up to the will of man that detonates it or sets it off. No matter how much God wants to move in this earth or what he wants to do here, he has to have a man that will cooperate him, that will believe him to do it. I mean, if Noah wouldn't have cooperated with God and said, no, we ain't building an ark, forget it, we ain't doing that. You know, there wouldn't have been any lives saved. You know, he didn't tell the elephants to go build it. He didn't have dolphins go build an ark. Did you notice that? They couldn't have done it. It required a man. And the whales couldn't do it either. But people need to get straight in their mind and their thinking about the will of man. It is powerful. We either allow God to do things or not to do things by our own will. One of the things in dealing with our will, I told the story, and I want to go back over that again today because there's things that you really need to get a hold of. It's one of the things I thank God. He had me listen to Kenneth Hagin's stuff. Because there's principles that I learned a long time ago that it seems that many don't understand today and people haven't got the idea of. Even most faith ministers who teach the subject of faith don't understand some things about the areas of faith. Because Kenneth E. Hagin, you know, when the Lord spoke to him, he had pastored churches for a number of years, and the Lord sent him out into a field ministry and told him to do that. And he went out in this field ministry, he was out there in it, and he was really going under. His family was suffering terribly. I mean, if you ever have heard him tell the story, I mean, he said his children didn't have, you know, good food to eat. He said they weren't dressed well. And he said, his car wore out. Literally, he had to sell it for junk. He was borrowing money just to try to keep things going. Him and his wife, they lived in a one-bedroom apartment. All they had was a kitchen and a bedroom. That's all there was. There wasn't even a living room or anything, just the kitchen. They were living in it, had two children living in it. Ken Jr. had to sleep on a rollaway bed in the kitchen. And Brother Hagin said that was the same place he had to do his studying and all that stuff. They're living in there. Here's a guy who understands divine healing and understands how to walk in it. That step of prosperity, he is getting nowhere. And so he went to the Lord about it, and he quoted the Lord a scripture. And he said to him, the Bible, he said, Lord, the word says, if you're willing and obedient, you can eat the good of the land. And he said, Lord, your word says that. And he said, I sure haven't been eating the good of the land. He said, I wasn't done what you told me to do and all this kind of stuff. And he said, man, we ain't making it at all. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, yes, but what does the word say? It says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And he and the Lord said to him, yes, you've been obedient, but you have not been willing. And you need to understand this about the subject of faith. I don't care if you believe what the word says. Brother Hagin believed that scripture, but he was not doing that scripture in the area. Even though he did the will of God, he didn't want to. You can do the will of God, you can believe the word is true, and it not perform for you because your will is not tied to it. You need to understand that. That's where a lot of people do this thing. Over the years, I've even heard ministers preach it this way. Well, you know, those talk about giving or they talk about walking in love. It don't matter if you don't want to do it. You just do it. If your will isn't tied into you, it don't even do you much good to do it. You got to be willing to do it. You got to want to do the will of God. Believing that it's true is not enough. Your will, you have to have the desire within you to do God's will. And you can do that. It's like Brother Hagin said, it didn't take me weeks to change. He said, I got willing immediately. You know, you decide. You know, this is one thing that helped me. When I gained that understanding as a young Christian, when I heard him talk about that, I was just a baby Christian when I heard him. But I decided this back years ago, that if the Word of God said something, and even it was tough for me to do, first thing I was going to decide is I'm going to be willing to do what God wants. If God says it's that way, then I just have to shut up and that's the way it is, and I am going to set my will that God is right. Most people don't do that. I've heard preachers talk about this. Well, you know, if the Word says to walk in love, you do it whether you like it or not. You better get liking it if you want your faith to work. You better get liking walking. I'm going to forgive this person. I don't want to, but I'm going to because the Bible says to. Forget it. It ain't going to work. You got to want to. You can have the will. The inner man will want to follow the will of God. And we need to understand how important that is, because this is where many people stray outside of the territory that God has given to us, where we can walk in blessing. And they're sitting around, I don't understand. I believe what the Word says. I believe what the Bible says, but things aren't working. It's because of unwillingness themselves. They're doing what God said. Well, they really don't want to do it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to give money. I set myself a long time ago when I struggled with it. And I started saying with my mouth, I love to give. Hallelujah. I love to give. You know, God made me a giver. That's what I am. To do something different would be to do opposite of what I've been made. And I love to give. I will not say any other thing. I love to give. And I'm willing, hallelujah, because I love it. See, walking in love, forgiving somebody, I love to forgive. I love to forgive. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let unforgiveness come in on me. I don't care what they do to me. I am not going to do it. I'm going to love to forgive. I have to head in that direction if I want my faith to work. It will not work any other way. See, a lot of people wonder, well, why is this working? I'm believing God in this area. Did you ever check your willingness concerning the will of God? Brother Hagin, I will guarantee you, he believed that scripture was the Word of God, yet it was not working for him. He confessed it, and it didn't work for him. Why? It didn't happen until he got willing. I want to do the will of God, even though it seems difficult. Sometimes, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be difficult to do the will of God. It's going to be difficult. Sometimes I have struggled at things and had to, you know, go over into the confession of willingness to do the will of God, that I'm going to do it because it's not what I wanted to do. It wasn't easy to do. And I had to struggle at it. But most people, they're struggling at just doing it. No, where you come, I find out it's not hard to do it when you get over your will and check your will. Once I can get my will over and hook it up with God's will, I don't have near the trouble. My trouble is my fight over my will. And you got the same problem. It's your will. Once I get willing, it's like, man, I can do this. I'll do this thing. But sometimes we're in the fight of willingness. We're just trying to go over there. Well, I believe what it says and I'm confessing it. But we have a willingness problem with doing what God wants us to do. God doesn't want you to be just, well, I'm going to do it. I don't like it. It's like the story they always tell, and I used it the last time, the little boy, his daddy tells him to sit down, and he said, well, I'm standing up on the inside. That's many Christians. Many Christians have never submitted their will, saying, God, you know, I need to be sitting down. No, they're standing up on the inside. I really don't want to do this, Lord. I don't want to do this thing. I'll do what you say, but I don't like it. See, your motives, and I've said this over for years, your motives are everything. See, God judges what's going on in the heart. An unwillingness in the heart will shut a lot of things down in a lot of places. That's why sometimes people say, I don't understand why this person's going through this or going through that. Sometimes they're going through it because of their will. They don't ever line their will up with God's will. And people say, I don't understand. They're a nice person. They do good things. They do this and that and the other thing. But you don't know what's inside a person, but God does. God knows on the inside of us. And that's where it says, the Bible says, he doesn't judge by outward appearance, he judges by the heart. Do I have a willing heart? And so what I always have to work at, and you know, I've been there. I mean, have you ever been at the place that you had a will problem? Have you ever been there? See, Mike, have you ever had a will problem? Yeah, we probably ran into each other over there a couple times, didn't we? Will problems. You know, you run into, you get will problems. You do. And we don't realize the importance of it because it's not talked about much in the church world. What we do is we put legalism. Just do it. and we turn it into legalism. God wants right motives, not just you did it. That's not enough. He wants you to want to do it. Why? Because it's the best for you. And that, you know, is one thing, is that the more you learn how to yield your will to God, to what He wants to do, the easier that many things become. You know, I would say probably my will was one of the greatest struggles that I dealt with as a young Christian, is dealing with that. And I remember Brother Hagin telling that story about, you know, what he was going through. And I thought, here's a man who knows how to believe God. Here's a man of faith. But you know what? God gave him the wonderful revelation that I walk in today. God gave it to him at that time on how to receive money from God, what to do, how to make it work. He got that revelation, but God never gave him that revelation until he got his will straight. If you're not hearing from heaven, you may very well have a will problem. Because it does God no good to give you a revelation on what you're doing if you haven't set your will to want to really do what He wants you to do. What's the point? He's not dealing with robots. He gave man the authority and the will. He wants the people that follow Him to do it on their own volition and their desire to do what His Word says, not out of being a master with a slave. When Jesus Christ returns and sets up His kingdom, He's going to rule with a rod of iron. That's the humans in the earth. He ain't going to be doing that to the church. They're going to be a glorified people. God don't want people in heaven that don't want His will. And we need to grab a hold of those things. I mean, think about this from Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, I want to read you a scripture concerning God using a man in the earth. This is dealing with the will of man. In other words, man's will to do the will of God. And this is an important scripture for us today as dealing with our nation. Because I will tell you, our nation is right in the middle and in this place right now where I'm going to read about. Our nation stands at this place right now. Our nation stands here. America is teetering on the edge of destruction. You think the election's going to change? I'm going to tell you what. If America doesn't make some changes as a nation, and not political parties, doesn't make some changes in attitudes and things, destruction's going to come. God ain't interested in political parties. That's not what He's... That's what we get interested. In Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and listen to this, verse 29. It says, the people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and the needy, and they've wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So he said, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. He said, now listen to this. I thought God just did what He wanted to do. Now, you know, He said no. He's looking for a man who is going to stand in this gap. He's looking for a man who's going to make a stand for the land so God doesn't destroy it. You need to understand about this, how God operates His system. God is required in His nature. And understand this, it doesn't change by grace. Grace hasn't changed this at all. Most preachers think they do, and they talk this stuff, and they're way out of line. They think that God doesn't judge because we're in a time of grace. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't think judgment's been going on in America, I don't know what bar you drink at, but I'll tell you what, that ain't going over. We're in the time, we're dealing with judgment. The only thing that has kept judgment from coming, like God would have to do it, not that He wants to do it, but would have to. God must judge sin. Remember, it says over Philippians, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap it. He says, God's not mocked. Whatever a guy sows, he's going to reap. Now, he said he's looking for someone. What this one, he said, to make a wall, to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. He said, I didn't find anybody. In other words, the will of God, God just couldn't force His will on the earth. God was trying to find a way not to have to bring judgment and could not get a man to cooperate to bring it to an end. Most of the church world is preaching messages that will bring judgment. You can't pray that God would withhold judgment and do things that bring judgment. You understand this? God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. You know why? Because not everybody could stand in it. The guy, the only guy that's going to stand, and the man or woman that's going to stand in the gap, the ones who have clean hands and a pure heart. See, we can't live like hell and say, God, don't bring any judgment on us. It's okay, we're just going to live like hell and tell people it's okay, they can do any kind of sexual sins they want, and it's all right. You love them. And there's like, we'll make them preachers. What do you think? I mean, my God, we'll just do it. And then say, oh God, hold judgment. God is required by his righteousness. Righteousness must judge sin. It must. Bible says this, New Testament, it's not Old Testament, New Testament. Judgment starts in the house of God. Oh, I didn't think God judged. It starts in the house of God. But this is what it says. Therefore, he said, what happened, verse 31? I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my mouth, and I have recompensed their deeds on their heads, says the Lord God. Was it God's will? Did he want to do that? No, he didn't want to do that. He couldn't find anybody that would stand for the Lamb. He couldn't find somebody who would do it. So in other words, we see, who has the authority? See, people say, well, God's sovereign. He did that out of his sovereignty. Yes, from this point standpoint of sovereignty. His sovereignty requires him to judge sin. He has to. And if man don't stand in the gap, if man don't make a stand, if man doesn't do something, God can't release his mercy. In other words, if mercy is going to come, it just ain't going to fall out of the sky on us. Mercy is something, when man sins, we need to call out to God, oh God, have mercy. We need to be going to God. We need to go to God and say, hey God, you know, there has to be a repentance. There needs to be a repentance in the church. Judgment has to, either the church judges itself or it gets judged by God, one way or the other. A lot of what's going on in the church world today is because of judgment. God's letting things run to their full because people won't repent. The church world thinks it's okay. You can live in sin and it's all right and everything's okay. We'll just go to heaven living like hell. Yeah, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. You know, you can just, when you want to follow God, you go ahead and follow him. If you don't feel like it, you don't have to. We're all going to heaven together. I don't want to go to heaven with a lot of people because heaven's going to be a stinking place if they go. See, we got to get down to things of what today they're talking about. Here, God is trying to withhold judgment. But he can't do it himself. He doesn't do it himself. Because man has authority in the earth. Man has authority, whether he's going to hook up with God or not. So let's go over and let's look at Romans in the 5th chapter. I want to read to you here in Romans in the 5th chapter. I want to read you some scriptures here. We look at what God did through Jesus. In other words, in what God in dealing with man and the earth. Because we need to gain over in the area of where our authority lies. Where we're at. What we're dealing with. Because God couldn't get the will of man on his side, he couldn't stop judging. He had to get the will of man. In other words, he had to have man say. See, when people go over and hear, you know, we read the story about Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah. And God came down and, you know, the Lord came down and down to Abraham, showed up at his house, talked to him. But the angel, they went to leave to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they went to leave and they said, should we do anything in the earth without telling our man Abraham? And you know why? See, everybody says that's some strange thing. It's no strange thing. That's the way it always was. God asked Abraham's approval. Why? Abraham was the only guy in the land that was at a place of righteousness to do anything about it. That's why God said, should I do anything on the earth and not tell Abraham? In other words, God said, I'm not going to do anything without first discuss it with Abraham. Because if he can get Abraham to say something, God had not discussed it with Abraham, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot and his family in it unless somebody intervened. And what did Abraham say? You're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, no, God, that's far from you. God said, man, I like this guy. I like him. Wow, am I glad I talked to Abraham. But you see, the principle hasn't changed. What we just read here in Ezekiel is no different than over there. God is looking. In other words, God couldn't find a righteous person in Israel. That don't surprise me. I know at one time he could only find two guys that were righteous. Remember? Back when they were going to go in the land, there's that guy Caleb and Joshua were the only two guys in all the land. He runs into that trouble. I'm going to tell you what, there's a minimal amount in America. Everybody thinks there's so many Christians in America, you'd be shocked. There are not a lot of Christians God could talk to about certain things. He can't speak to them about things. I want to be in a position where God can talk to me about what to do. I want to be in that place. And that place comes by understanding our authority. He's looking for somebody that will use their authority in His plan and in His purpose to yield their will to Him. That's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for somebody that finds His will more important than their own will or their own ideas. Now in Romans, the 5th chapter, we'll read verse 12. What verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the earth. Now, how did sin get in the earth? Through man. Did it get in through God? See, a lot of people say, all this stuff that happened, God did it. God did it. God did it. No, it doesn't. Sin entered the earth through a man. That's how it got here. It entered through a man. And it says, and death through sin. It's talking about spiritual death, not physical death. Physical death is no more than a symptom of spiritual death. That's all it is. When the New Testament, when it's talking about death, it's talking about spiritual death. Most people read a lot of other stuff into it, but it's talking about spiritual death. You know, the offspring, sickness and disease, all that kind of stuff, that all came in through spiritual death. Spiritual death's what, spiritual death isn't change. You can't stop the other stuff. That's why from a national standpoint, sickness and disease, I mean, things are running rampant, going crazy, nutty out here. It can't stop because spiritual death reigns in most people and even in most Christians. Most Christians are out here spiritual. They don't understand it. They try to serve God through the natural instead of through the spirit. They don't understand spiritual things. They're trying to do everything physical. Everything physical. Understand this, divine healing isn't physical. No doctor does divine healing. Divine healing is healing without any kind of physical aid. That's what Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin. He said, dealing in the areas of divine healing. People don't understand that today. Divine healing deals with the spirit. You got to receive something into your spirit. Everybody's trying to receive it into their body. You don't get it in the inside in your inner man, you ain't getting it in your body. I learned that as a baby Christian. If I get healing working in the inner man, I can get it working in my body, no sweat. This is people don't. All they do is they focus on the body, the body, the body, the body, the body, the body, the body. Trying to get the body healed. Getting the body healed ain't hard if you know something spiritually. And understand that. If you can't, you're not getting your body in line, then there's something spiritually wrong. There's something spiritually wrong. Understand that. Deal with your inner man. What am I really believing on the inside? I can say a lot of things with my head, but I want to know what the inner man's believing, because faith's out of the inner man. He ain't out of the head. He's not out of the head. Hallelujah. That's why we're dealing in this area of the will, because the will is so powerful, getting in line with God's plan. And you have to know what God's plan is. So we're in line with God's plan. He said, so this death through sin came, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. So death spread to all humanity because of a man. Because of a man. So in other words, what is going on we have in the earth and what sin has done and what all it's done because of man. It wasn't God. It wasn't even God's judgment. It was because man turned it loose. Man turned it loose spiritually. What happened? Adam set his will against God. Adam set his will against God. God told Adam his plan and purpose, and Adam said, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to eat that tree. I said, I'm going to eat that fruit. I'm going to get it. I want that. He set his will against the will of God, and he brought that into the earth. He's the one that allowed Satan to do what he did. He held the authority. God gave Adam dominion over the earth. See, we have a hard time because of what we've been trained religiously from the time that we were little. Oh, that God just runs everything and you just can't, you know, you're going to take over God, you know, what are you doing? No, God set this thing in motion. He made Adam and he told Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, Adam was the God of this world. And he said, Adam committed high treason and sold it out. How did he commit high treason? He operated his will against the will of God, and he allowed Satan to bring that in. Now, he had no idea what he was going to let in, just like most people don't when they get into sin. They never realize all they're going to let in when they do it. You know, I'm just going to get over here and sin a little bit, but the devil will dump a lot of stuff in your door once you did that little bit. Your ignorance, you know, ignorance ain't bliss. The devil don't care. If you don't know, he likes it that way. If you do, well, I'm just going to do this a little bit. Well, I'll tell you, he's going to bring worse to you than what you did. That's what he does. Adam had no idea what he stepped into. But nonetheless, God didn't stop it. Why? Because God operated sovereignly upon the laws and rules that he established. And when Adam sinned, Adam became a child of the devil. And everybody that's ever born on the face of this earth ever since, we don't like to think about them as cute little babies we had, but that would tell you what, they're the devil's kids. Whether you like it or not, they are born with the nature of sin. And you can see it in them as they grow up. Those little buggers will con you, lie, cheat, steal, do stuff. You got to treat them. If you don't, why? Because it's the nature of sin. You have to do that. They have the nature of sin. You know? I mean, I know people call themselves Christians. I still believe they got the nature of sin because they're always lying, cheating, conning, and all that kind of stuff. I think they got the nature of sin. You know? But the wages of sin is death. In other words, it brings spiritual death. When spiritual death, understand, when you open the door to spiritual death, you could let anything that's in death come to you. That's why you don't want to do it. So Adam turned his will against God. Adam released this thing into the earth that affected all humanity. Think about that. Don't ever think your sin's personal. Sin always affects other people. You might not see it now. You might not think it. You know, I've watched parents do this. They think, well, you know, they tell the kid, you know, you do this, you don't do what I do, but you do what I say. That stuff never works. Why? Because the sin of the parents affects the kids, and they'll end up following in it. They'll end up walking in it. That's the way it goes. It affects. And so, you know, that's why I always want to tell people, you know, what's it Kenneth Copeland used to say about, you know, a Christian who marries a sinner, you know, a sinner, he said, you just made the devil your father-in-law. And, you know, he's exactly right. It's the truth. Spiritually, it's the truth. And then they're trying to get the devil out of their house when they turn around and married somebody who got him and let him in. Craziest stuff you've ever seen in your life. Christians do it all the time. Do crazy stuff and wonder why things don't work. The wages of sin is death. Death works sin. And when death comes, this is what death wants to do. Death has to do with our will, about our will. We want to keep it out. I want to keep death out by my will. I want to side with the will of God. That's what I want to do because I can keep death out. Now, God had a plan. Now, look at verse 15. We were at 12, but look at 15. It says, but the three free gift is not like the offense. If by one man's offense many died, now he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. Many died. Spiritual death came and many died spiritually because of one man's sin. He says, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. You need to understand this. Jesus did not die on the cross as God. He died as a man. That's why God had to become a man. If Jesus went to the cross operating as God, then you have no redemption. It was a requirement of a man. God established the system. Now, his system was brilliant because Satan didn't get it. Satan didn't understand it. That's why it's called a mystery. The mystery was hidden, it says, before the foundation of the world. It wasn't revealed till the church came along. And a guy named Paul turned around and wrote about this mystery, of what this mystery really is about. That God, because, you know, if you look from the side of Satan, Satan's looking over here where Jesus is born into the man in an earth suit. And he's thinking, I got man trapped. Because, hey, I already own them. This guy become a man, and I'm going to have him too. Because, see, I can dominate men. That's what he thought. But he didn't realize something. He didn't understand that when the Son of God was born in the earth, he may have been born in through a woman and took on a human body, but he never had the sin nature. The sin nature was passed on by man, not the female. The sin nature is always passed on by the seed, not the ground. The woman's the ground, the seed of man. It is through the seed of man it passed. He never saw it coming and didn't realize that he had a man walking around the earth without the nature of sin. Dumb devil didn't get it. The Bible says if he would have understood it, he'd never crucified the Lord of glory. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done it. God put a man in the earth that was going to follow his perfect will. He's the second Adam. But understand this, we had to be redeemed by a man. Jesus could not redeem us as the Son of God. That he could not do. He had to redeem us by acting out and being a complete human being in the earth. And he was. And now through, just think about this, through the new birth, you and I take down on the nature of God, just like Jesus had the nature of God when he walked the earth. That's why the Bible, Jesus told his disciples, the works that I do, you'll do also. Why? Because we were going to become what he was. He became what we were by becoming sin, taking our sin, so we could become like he is, the righteousness of God. We became a people who have the nature of God in us. That's why a person who gets born again and lives like a sinner is living a life that's a lie. Because he's not living to the righteousness of what he really is. He's living like he didn't get saved. He's living like a sinner. Living beneath the glory that he was created in. This is why the church world doesn't understand things. That's why we can't see ourselves. The same Jesus said, the works that I do, will you do also. The church world can't see that. Because what they do is, you know, this nice guy died for us and God died for us and all that stuff. And we got saved. He just forgave our sins. That's what he did. He forgave our sins. And, you know, we're not going to really do this stuff. He was just nice saying, and he didn't really mean it. You know, he left. He was just glad to get rid of us and get out of here. And we're just going to have to struggle down here and hang on until he gets back. And he'll throw, you know, a dollar or two down at us every once in a while. Or he'll say something nice. And sometimes he'll heal people. And sometimes he'll just say, why don't you get sick and die? And, you know, it's just, they throw this stuff all at her. It's because, really, they've never read the Bible. They've looked at it through what the religions that they've been taught about the Bible and not what God does. God had planned a redemption. So we look down. Now look at this. So we're dealing in the areas with a man. This man is passing something on to us. That's why sin can be passed on, but righteousness can be passed on too. That's why you want to live righteous, because it can be passed on. Verse 19, he said, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Just like the sin. Adam sinned and many fell into that darkness of sin. That thing passed on. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, man would be redeemed. Man could now begin to walk in the redemption, through redemption, to begin to walk in the place that God had established man from the beginning, free of Satan's dominion. See, Satan gained a dominion through Adam into the earth. See, when these people say, I don't believe in getting healed and God wants everybody well and all that, well, then you just don't understand what redemption was. You don't understand what God... If I didn't end up as in good a shape as Adam had it before, my redemption ain't nothing. It don't amount to anything. The whole point of it is Adam, before his sin, was completely innocent in the presence of God. He was righteous to God. He was totally innocent. Totally innocent. He had no knowledge of sin. He gained the knowledge of sin, how? Through disobedience, the same way you do. You and I are born this earth with the nature of sin, but you know how you learn about sin? Through your disobedience. You find out the effects. That's how you do. And it ain't God putting the effect on you. It's the devil. You know, I was born and raised in among Christianity, and God did everything. You know, we thought everybody would think how God was doing it. Well, it wasn't God doing it. It was the effect of sin. When you go off walking in it, it's the effect of sin showing up in your life. It has effects. And those effects sure do show up. And so that's what, you know, God, we're looking here. God provided a redemption through Christ. When a man set his will to do the will of God, for a man doing that, it changed everything. That's why we need to understand as being born again on this side. If Jesus Christ walking as the righteousness of God in the earth could have such an effect on the earth and humanity, how much more would we have today? If somebody under the old covenant could walk right according to the old covenant and withhold judgment from a nation, what would happen when a saint stood up today? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not the righteousness of the law, the actual righteousness of God, stand up and say, God, don't do this. God, have mercy on us. What happened? See, the effect of the change, setting our will in line with the will of God. Do you think that God is not looking in the earth today for people to withhold judgment? Do you think He's changed? He's not changed. I've heard numbers of Christians say this over the last couple years, and it really bothers me. They're saying, oh, it don't matter what we do, whether, you know, pray and ask God. God has a set plan of what He's going to do, so we don't have to pray. This, you know, judgment will come if He wants it to. They talk about, you don't worry about voting, and don't worry about those things. God's going to put who He wants in office anyhow. They're saying, loads of Christians are talking this nonsense, and it's because of the darkness they live in. It's because of their unwillingness to look over to the plan of God. They have accepted an easy way out. It's all on God's side. And I ain't gonna, we don't have to do nothing about it. And it's out of the American Christianity, which is called laziness. It ain't no more than lazy. Being lazy. Non-concerned about others. Non-concerned. Well, I'm saved and going to heaven. I don't know if I want to go with that bunch. I don't know if I want to be around them up in heaven, because I think I'd say, Lord, you know, could you send me to another? Is there another heaven somewhere? Is there another? Or let me go down and I'll just, you know, walk, hang out down there in my, you know, glorified suit and just watch whatever the Antichrist doing. And till all that's over, could I just stay away from those people? Because they're self-centered and selfish. This is one of the things Apostle Paul wrote. What people, he says, people in the last days, what's going to happen? They're going to be lovers of themselves. And I mean, the church is as full of it as the world is. Self-love, self-gratification, and not understanding. The power of the will of man is such an enormous, huge thing. When a person lines up, God put those things in there from Ezekiel 22. The Bible says this, that the things that were written about Israel were written for our admonition, for the people at the end of the age. That's us. We're the people supposed to be standing up in this time and say, hold it, God, you gave us authority here. And not this little whining Christianity we got today, this little nice stuff and money in my pocket and just nice houses and lands and stuff. We can change this earth. We can make some changes here in this place. Till Jesus Christ does come for the church, which I believe is soon, I don't want judgment poured out and a bunch of them end up dead before Jesus comes. I want them to have an opportunity to get saved. And that's where we can turn around and we can make a stand. There's the mystery. The Bible calls it, Paul wrote, called it the mystery of godliness. In the mystery of godliness, in 1 Timothy 3:16, he said the mystery of godliness, he said, is without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up to heaven. God became a man. He put on flesh. He was justified in the spirit. You and I were too. We've been justified. Justified before men? No, I'm justified before God. I am justified to do the will of God, and you are justified to do God's will. That's why you and I have been justified. Not to for freedom that we call freedom. The freedom of the church is not to do what we want. Our freedom is to do the will of God. A sinner never has freedom to do the will of God. He has no freedom to do that. We were not given freedom for vote. That is not the freedom God was talking about. My words, there are some nations have kings and things and live better than they do here in America. They don't have as much junk going on. There's not as much paganism as going on here in America. If we think the vote is what, it's the freedom not to sin. America's problem is the church has used grace as a freedom to sin. A freedom to do what I want and I'm still going to go to heaven. I'm still going to... No, the freedom that I have today, that I gain, is I can live for God. I could never do that. When I was lost, I don't care how I wanted to do good, it did bad. Oh, man, you know. I mean, every year, what do we go off this is, you know, we're going to be running up on it soon, shortly, and we're going to have all these New Year's resolutions and all this stuff that people are going to come, and we're going to, oh, we're going to pray for peace in this year to come, and peace, and that'll all go out the window. Somebody don't, there ain't going to be peace, and the only thing that's going to stop judgment is if man can stand before God. If somebody righteous can stand up and say, God, I'm going to tell you, God, I'm sure, I know what God will say. I know what God will say to a person who will be righteous and stand. God will say, for your sake, I'll do it. When the Lord spoke to me back when, after I got born again, and I went to God about what the things that went on in my life and friends and stuff I had die and different things that took place. And after I got born again, I said, Lord, how on earth, how did I live? I'm going to tell you, I can sit down and tell you stories. You guys go, oh my God, that guy was an idiot. I mean, I did things to try to kill myself. I mean, I did it numerous times. Things I should have ended up dead doing dumb stuff, and I lived. And when I got saved, I thought, why? There's people that were better than me and nicer than I was, they ended up dead. Friends of mine ended up dead. And I went to God and said, God, how come? I mean, I went through Vietnam for 13 months, never got a scratch, never got nothing. I said, God, how did I go? And I said, all the dumb things I did, driving cars and drunk and crazy and drugs and overdosed a couple times and done wild and stupid stuff. And I was just having fun trying to kill Ed. And, I said, God, I lived, you know, to me, that boggled my mind because I knew things can't be like men say. You know, they say the good die young. I should live forever. My God, I was on the place to live forever. But, folks, I was out there in all this craziness, but I spoke to the Lord after I got born again. I said, how come, Lord? I always had questions. All kind of people want to know all kind of other stuff. I just want to know how I didn't end up a sinner in hell. I just want to know how that didn't happen. I wanted to know. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I spared you because of your father. Your father was righteous before me. And then he made this statement, which I didn't know and I didn't realize. He said, I hadn't had that much Bible study up at that point. I was a young Christian. But he said to me, he said, I spared Noah's family because he was righteous. He said, the word never says they were. Well, that was an astounding thing to me. I always thought, oh yeah, they got saved because they were really nice. So I decided Ed ought to read the story. So I went over and read the story, and nowhere in the account does it ever say that his family was righteous. It says Noah was. And the Lord said to me, he said, I spared you because your father. And I realized then, because my dad, of his... really, in many ways, limited knowledge of God. There's one thing about my father. My father learned something about God. He obeyed and did it, and he would submit himself to the will of God. He would, if he knew something, he would. And as far as he was concerned, he walked right, and he did. And God honored his walk, and God spared our family. I'll tell you what, because I had other brothers and sisters that should have been dead. This is why you want to walk right. People that don't walk right hate other people. I don't care. They can tell me they love people. If you want to live in sin, you hate people. You keep people alive by walking right. My family is blessed today because of my walk. Say, well, who do you think you are? I'm the guy God taught me about, told me about how to do it and what to do. That's when he spoke to me back about the 128th Psalm. He said, if a man who fears the Lord and walks in his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around the table. And he said this to me. This is what the voice of the Lord spoke to me. This wasn't some inward witness. The voice spoke right in the room where I was. It's like I'd be there and somebody that's in the room would have said it out loud. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. You see, walking right before the Lord is huge pay. It's not just for yourself. It's for your family. It's for your family. You follow God for others, not just yourself. Most people, my personal relationship with Jesus. Most people would say that. It's a selfish thing that they say. It's about me getting into heaven and hell with the rest of them. Might sound vulgar, but that's exactly what a lot of people are doing. We follow God because it saves others. You know, my children, my daughters have been blessed in financially things and stuff, and I'm going to tell you why they have been. It's because of my walk. I was blessed in many things because of my dad's walk, and I realized it didn't happen because of it. It didn't happen because of my great faith. Folks, many Christians don't really realize that they have been alive by the faith of others and not themselves. This great ego of faith today that we have in our country is no more than ego. I'm going to thank God for moms and dads who lived right and walked right. And I don't care if they didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking under tongues, but if they walked and they honored God and they stayed pure before God, they blessed their families. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to get back to some of that stuff. Today, it's much of it's called legalism. You live right and you're a legalist. You got to get some sin in there some so you can be a little bit, more of a grace person. No, it isn't. The reason we do it, and God taught me when I was a young Christian about the effect of my life was going to have on my family. I found out, just like I've told you guys the stories, how God used me, to get Wanda's grandpa healed. If I hadn't walked where I did, if I didn't do what God says, and look, I'm not blowing my horn. This is for anybody to walk in it. We got authority here. We're men in the earth, men, women, but we're mankind. Mankind has the authority. And when a man, a woman gets born again, my God, we're in the class of God. Hallelujah. You talk about effect. Jesus got saved. The disciples didn't go to hell, did they? Hallelujah. But one who never joined in, his will was never tied to him. But his disciples, whose will was tied to him, they came into the kingdom. And what did they do? They passed that blessing on and passed it on and passed it on. You and I stand today because of the walk of men in the past. God told me and spoke to me right on the city of Lebanon, walking down, heading east on Walnut Street, down by near First Avenue, walking down there, minding my own business, just praying like he told me to go out the city and pray. And he spoke to me and he said, at the end, there's a great revival going to sweep through this valley. And he said, it's not going to be because of the church of today. It's going to come because, he said, I've had people in the past who stood before me. And he said, you're going to see a revival come because they asked. Somebody walk right and we're going to get the benefit. And I'll tell you this, I'm taking it. Glory, I'm taking the benefit. I don't care if I didn't drum it up. I'm going to take it when it comes. Hallelujah. But I thank God because there's always been people. That's why we owe Israel a debt as a nation. We owe Israel a debt because Israel, there would have been no Jesus Christ. There would have been no Messiah if all the Jews would have backed off and left God. But there's ones who followed and walked right all down through the nations till the Messiah came. And you and I got the Messiah because somebody else gave their life for it. Because somebody else was willing. And we've got to come back to that in America today. We don't have that in America. People don't have any will to die for a thing. I'll tell you, this gospel is wonderful to live for. And I'll tell you what, giving your life's nothing. Hallelujah. Because this gospel is so glorious. This gospel is so wonderful. Hallelujah. It's turned men into something that we could have never been on our own. Hallelujah. And our place of authority is incredible to think that God is moved by our opinion. If we hook our opinion with His, hallelujah, there is nothing He won't do. Glory to God. That's a God, man. That's a God. Hallelujah. That's why to sit down and think about God would give you money, God would heal your body. That's a nothing. Man, that's a given. And people struggle over it and struggle over it and struggle over it. It's because they don't know God. They don't know where they stand with Him. They don't know how willing this wonderful, gracious God is willing to hear our voice. Hallelujah. The Scripture says, how quick will He answer His people when they cry out? Jesus told the unjust judge. The unjust judge, the woman came and hounded and hounded and hounded, finally to get the judge to do something. Jesus said, how much quickly will God respond to his people when they cry out? He said, quickly. We don't have to hound this God. This God has been waiting for us to stand up and say, God, your word says this or your word says that. Lord God, this is what your word says, that your mercy and your wrath is but for a short time, but your mercy endures forever. God, look, we'll have some wrath later, but right now, let's have some mercy. God's waiting for, he's waiting for somebody to stand up and say it. He's waiting for somebody to stand up in the gap. He's waiting for somebody that's like he is. You and I. We don't need Billy Graham to stand up and do it. We don't need to get Kenneth Copeland to be the guy to do it. He'll respond to any believer who will stand up and say. When we think about the love, I'm going to tell you, my family ain't going to hell. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I know how to keep them out. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't live like hell and keep them out. Hallelujah. But I stand concerning my family. If I do the will of God, he said, he told me that I didn't have to worry about my family. He'd take care of my family. And through my walk, Christian walk now, hallelujah, for the path going to be in January, it'll be my 35th year starting into this thing. You know how many times I've went to God concerning things that rose up in my family, and I'd say, Lord, you said if I'd follow you and I'd do what you told me to do, that you'd take care of my family. Now, Lord, if I've missed it somewhere, you show me, I'll get in line. But Lord, this is the way I talk to him. Because he should have never said it to me if he didn't mean on keeping it. I'd say, Lord, then you're responsible to straighten that situation out, and I expect it done. I'm not going to run around trying to make, you said you'd take care of it, so I expect you to take care of it. I've never had one time he hadn't taken care of it. Every time, all I do is I just remind him. The Bible says to put him in remembrance. And that's what, the things the Lord spoke to me, I put him into remembrance all the time. I tell him, say, Lord, remember when you spoke to me back so-and-so and said such and such? I expect that, Lord God, to take place. I expect that now. You told me. See, why'd you? You wouldn't have told me if you didn't want to do it. You want to do it. See, my will's hooked with his will. That's what he's waiting to find out where my will's at. We've been waiting on God, and he's been waiting on us. We say, I'm waiting on God, but we'll be waiting forever. We're not going to wait forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been justified in the Spirit. Glory to God. We've been made righteous by God himself. You and I stand in a place when our will is hooked to the will of God. There's nothing more incredible that could take place in this earth. There's nothing no more phenomenal. If such destruction came when a man set his will with the enemy, and what happens when a man sets his will with God? Remember, Satan is not, he's no more than a created being. That's all he is. Hallelujah. Our God is no created being. He always was and always is. He's the guy that created that stupid rascal that fell and went and followed off into sin thinking he could be God. Hallelujah. I'm not God, but I can set him off. I can set him off in a direction he wants to go. When he wants to blow up some good stuff in this earth and bring things in, we can be that detonator that sets it off. And that's where we need to see ourselves in the church. We don't want to live outside the jurisdiction of God. Because what happens? If a detonator gets contaminated, it don't work. When I was in Vietnam, every so often they'd take detonators out and they'd just go blow them up because after such amount of time, corrosion and stuff and things happen to things. Why? You want to keep things good so when you're ready to blow something up, it actually works. That's why the prodigal son, he was living out there in the pig pen. He wasn't blowing nothing up out there. He couldn't blow anything good his way for nothing. He had to go home to the God. He had to set his will in another direction. He had to admit the sin he was doing. He had to admit those things. Go back and got into the will of God. And what happens? Blessing comes. It's the way it works. It's the way it works. Hallelujah. I've been young and I've gotten older. And I'm right along with David. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Anyone who's walked righteously, it's never happened. It's never happened. Hallelujah. It's never happened. Stand and take your place. Many Christians walk and live good lives. They walk right, but never take their place. I mean, you walk right, live right, stand up like you're living right. Talk to God like you're living. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God like he would do something for you. Lord, my will's set into your will. Hallelujah. I'm setting your path, Lord God. This stuff going on around me, we ain't putting up with no more. We're going to blow some things up. Hallelujah. We're going to set, we're going to, you know, whatever we bind. Now what is it? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. I'm going to tell you, we have people have loose stuff in this earth we're living with. We need to go blow this stuff up. We need to turn around and bind some of this stuff up, and we need to loose some things. The church has been waiting for God to loose. He's not going to. God has been waiting for us to loose. Hallelujah. He's given us the book and telling us all the glorious things that His plan and His purpose. All He wants you and I to set our will and say, that's what I want. I want what you want, God. I want this blessing to run rampant in the earth down here. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, we'll see a move of God in this nation in this last day if the church will stand up and say, God, we want your will, not our will. We don't want this stupid gospel that people are preaching. We want the real gospel. I want the real power of God. I want demonstrations of the Holy Ghost that knock people out, man, that blows up in people's face and they say there's a God in heaven, and what on earth have we been serving? This one God, I want something that explodes so much on the scene and so destroys this stupid religious Christianity that we got going on today that most people like, and blows it right up, and they get to see the real true living God and how good He really is, and not this little weak weeny thing. Just get by. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want men and women to know a living God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, folks, we can set it loose. We can. Just think, our Jesus said, you can ask the Father anything in my name and He'll do it. Anything. We haven't asked a lot of things we should have asked. We just thought about asking for just stuff. And you need to understand this. You hang around the wrong stuff, the wrong stuff will lead you to wrong stuff. I was involved in a minister's group for years, and they were moving more and more away from the Spirit, on things of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, getting more over into how do you draw crowds. And doing more and more and more of that. And I'd been praying for a move of the Holy Ghost. I'd been spending time before the Lord about gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. And the Lord one day spoke to me out of the clear blue. I had been part of that minister's fellowship for many years. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you continue to stay with them, you're not going to end up where you want to be. See, I'm staying with people in a move of the Spirit. People want, what this world needs is not me to follow them and what they want. They need me to follow God, what He wants. He wants to bring a move of the Spirit, of the demonstrations of God, like men have never seen before on the face of the earth. That's His plan. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. He has spoken to me about it so many times. He has talked to me about it. His desire, He wants to blow up in this earth. And He's being held back by the church. He's being held back by the church. But all He wants is a people to stand up and say, we want it. A people that will say, hey, look, I'm not going on with the status quo. You know, it doesn't matter where people like what I do or what I say. It doesn't matter. I'm going to follow the will of God for the benefit of the ones who don't like it. You know, my kids didn't always like me straightening them out. I didn't quit straightening them out just because they didn't like Daddy straightening them out. I'm going to say it's the same way. You follow God, you head what's right, you'll bring blessing on somebody. They might not like it for a while. They might like it. I remember my daughter, you know, Alyssa saying to me about, you know, when she said she thought I was a pretty hard guy sometimes when she was young and that kind of stuff. But I remember when she went to college and went off to college, and she said, you know, she said, Dad, she said, you really loved us. She said, I'm here with these people in college. She said, they're rich, they got money, all kinds of stuff. Driving in their Beamers and Mercedes, the kids and stuff. He said, their parents hate them. Their parents don't like them at all. He said, their parents give them stuff to get rid of them. She said, you loved us. You see, she didn't find that out right away. But she found out what was the difference. See, giving people stuff is no sign of love. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to get somebody out here, just give them something to. But you know what? I was going to walk the way of the Lord. I was going to walk the way God said, whether they liked it or not. I was the one loving them because I didn't want life to turn out bad for them. I didn't want life to hurt. I could have turned around and done what those other parents did and have the mess that they have. I say, we didn't do that. You do what's right. I'm going to follow God. I don't care if it hair-lips the devil and any other Christians. Too bad. They get upset over it. Too bad. I'm going to follow what's right. Why? Because the final benefit will come to many, just like with Jesus. Many, many came to righteousness. Many were made righteous. Many because of His righteous act. They hated Him when they did it. They didn't want Him. They thought they were getting rid of it. But His walking right saved many, didn't it? Hallelujah. You and I are children of God because He did that. How much more? You think it's different with us? It's the same thing. Do right whether anybody likes it or not. Walk right whether anybody likes it or not. I don't care if my family, I don't care if my brothers and sisters would say they don't have nothing to do with it. They think I'm an idiot. That's okay. It's all right. I ain't going to get in bed fight with them over the thing. But I ain't going to quit to have them hang around with them. I'm going to follow what's right. Because why? I'm going to bless them. Just like my daddy blessed Ed. Because I thought he was out there. But he walked and blessed my life in spite of my stupidity and ignorance. Hallelujah. And it was stupidity and ignorance. But I want to tell you, that's why I look at people. They're stupid and they're ignorant. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to quit liking them. I'm going to follow God till they get blessed. I'm going to walk with God till the blessing comes and they have opportunity to take it. They will have their opportunity to set their will to follow God or do whatever they want. But they're not going to sit around and say they didn't have the opportunity. They will have it. Before Jesus comes, this earth's going to get an opportunity. Hallelujah. And it's going to get an opportunity. It's because people like us decided to take the opportunity when it was here. The Bible says we, or I could say you, are the salt of the earth. This earth ain't rotten because you're here. You are. Do you realize how valuable you are? You know what this earth would be like when you're gone? Sit down and read the book of Revelation. You'll see what it's going to be like when the church leaves. Then the rot comes. The rot comes in full force. The church is the salt of the earth. See yourself like God made you. Do you see yourself as salt or like, who am I? Gee, what can I do? Oh, hallelujah. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being so kind to us. Lord God, you made us something into something so fantastic, so incredible, so phenomenal. And Lord God, Lord, we get glimpses into it. And sometimes, Lord, it just seems to me like, I'm reminded Kenneth Hagin used to say, it's like reading one of these superhero comic books. He said, you read the thing and it was almost like my words. It's how could it be? But it is true. And Lord God, Lord, we want that truth to dawn upon our hearts today. We want that truth falling on us today. Father, I don't want a person leaving this place today with any kind of worry or fear or anxiety about the future. I don't want anybody leaving here. Lord God, even concerning their families or whatever. Lord God, I don't want them, Lord, that none of us would leave here, that we would realize in our hearts, hallelujah. Lord God, your plan to do good, your plan, Lord God. Lord, you're not against any of our relatives or our family, Lord God, no matter what situation and what's going on. Father God, you have not changed in what you want to do. And Lord God, Lord, maybe some, and we know people, Lord God, they may deserve judgment, but Lord God, we're not crying for judgment. We're crying for mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Have mercy, O God. Lord, it seems that their ears may have been deaf, and it seems that they can't hear or understand or comprehend. But Lord, we know who does that. That's the devil. The Bible tells us he blinds people from the truth. He's the one that stops the ear from hearing in the name of Jesus, that the heart may not understand. But Father God, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you gave the church of Jesus Christ authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. And right now, devil, I break your authority over our relatives and our friends and families in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to get your hand off of them in Jesus' name. Get your hand off of their life. I say in the name of Jesus that they can hear, they can respond in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel preached preach to them will be heard. Hallelujah. They will come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. And Father God, I thank you. We're calling people in the name of Jesus. We're not throwing them out. We're calling them in. Lord God, you will show great mercy in this time. Oh, Lord God, you will show great mercy because we call to you and we ask. We just stand before today. Have mercy on our families, Lord God. Have mercy on our loved ones. Have mercy, Lord God. Lord, and again I cry, we know what they deserve, but Lord God, we deserve that too. But you had mercy. Lord God, you waited on me for 30 years, and many of them have not done the things that I did, but yet you were willing and merciful. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we say again, show mercy. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we thank you that you will. You're a God of great compassion. Hallelujah. It's not your, Lord God, it's not your desire that any go to hell, that anybody be separated from your truth. That's not your desire. You're the great God of salvation. Hallelujah. And Father, we stand before you, Lord God. Lord, if we've missed it, just show us, Lord God. Show us, Lord God. Lord God, we will be quick to repent. We will be quick to come back in line with your plans and your purposes. And Lord God, Lord, not just for us, Lord God. Lord, for others. We want to walk right, Lord God, so you can bless many. Hallelujah. Just as one sin brought so much trouble, Lord God, how much more when the righteous of the church stand up. Hallelujah. The great effect on many. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, I look with joy. Lord God, I see them coming in. I see them, Lord God. I see them hearkening unto the voice. I see your hand reaching out across America again. I see your voice. Your voice going out in a thunder across our land again, and a call, Lord God. A call, hallelujah, to this nation, Lord God. A call to its people. I see the demonstration and manifestations of your Holy Spirit again, shaking this nation to the core. I see, Lord God, great signs, wonders, and miracles taking place, Lord God. Healing flowing like a river, hallelujah. Multitude upon multitude, millions upon millions upon millions being healed and set free in our land. And the name of Jesus rising up again. A name of glory in our land again. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you. Many will respond. Many will come. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're not going to let our loved ones sit on the sidelines. We're not going to allow that. Hallelujah. We're not going to. Lord God, just as you spared me because of your Father, my Father, and I want to thank you. Lord God, how much more will you do it for any who stand right here today? Lord God, there's no difference. There's no difference here today. No difference here today. Lord God, you're not a respecter of a person. What you would do for one, you will do for all. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for today talking to us. Thank you, God, for speaking into our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for correcting us and directing us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, none of what your correction was in any way to harm us, but to help us. Hallelujah. To help us. Hallelujah. And to help our families and to help our loved ones. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're the God of heaven. We realize, Lord, we can open the door to allow you to do these things, but only, Lord, you're the only one that can do them. Lord God, we can't save them. You're the only one that can save them. Hallelujah. We can preach the gospel to them. But Lord God, it's through your power. It's through your demonstration. And all we do, Lord God, is today is to put our will into your hands. We lay our will into your hands for our families and for our loved ones, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want them all to be saved. Hallelujah. We want them all to come in. Hallelujah. We want the ark to be full. The ark to be full. Hallelujah. And the ark of this day will be filled with people. Filled to overflowing. Oh, Lord God. Lord, I read it in your scriptures that on the sea of glass, the multitude without number. Hallelujah. Standing on the sea of glass. Lord God, multitudes. Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. Hallelujah. Standing together. Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, families standing together. Hallelujah. Loved ones standing together before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Glorifying the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's because of your good work. your good works. Satan's trying to steal them off. But Lord God, we will not allow it. We bind his operation. We will not allow it. We're not allowing them to steal our loved ones. He cannot do that. Hallelujah. We take a hold of them with our faith in the name of Jesus. Right here today. And we thank you for it, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for all that you're accomplishing in us and doing in us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you go today, I want to say this to you. Is what I ministered today and what I talked about in my praying. You go before God. Let these things come out of your voice to God. Not just my voice. Hallelujah. My voice. But put them on your voice. Put them concerning your loved ones. Lord, if I need to make a change or something, whatever I need, I'll do it. But Lord God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, as just as you saved Noah's family because he was righteous. My family. My loved ones. And make a stand concerning your family and your loved ones. Make a stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things you need to do, quit doing, is quit trying to save them. We do that a lot of times. We think, well, if I do this, do it, I'll make this work. And we make it more of a mess than it was to begin with. This is one thing as I've learned about my loved ones. They don't pay no attention to Ed. I think he's an idiot. But it doesn't. They, you know, we shouldn't think strange that somebody who lives in darkness thinks you're crazy. They can't see you for what you are. They don't understand it. Don't let that concern you. You walk right and you do right. Don't be concerned because they're only talking what from their dark advantage. You're standing in light thinking, what's the matter? Can't they see? That's exactly right. They can't see. But see, this is where you speak and you come, devil. Devil, I stand against you because I want to walk right. God, show me to walk right. And when you walk right, then you get bold in the face of God. Quit bringing these little weenie prayers around, these little, you know, things. You stand in the presence of God and say, God, I'm standing where you called me to do, and I'm calling my loved ones, my family. God, my family ain't going to hell. So is your walk so important to you? When I was born about 3 years, I was born again 3 years. It was the third year. I was about 3.5 years. It was in July. It was the beginning of July. The Lord spoke to me one night. I was getting ready to go to camp meeting in 1983. I was getting ready to go to camp meeting in July of 1983. That was the last full week in July is when they had that. I was getting ready to go there because the Lord directed me specifically to go. But I was praying the one night about what God wanted to do and concerned because he had been dealing with me about the anointing in my life. But I'm praying, minding my own business, just sort of praying things that God had spoken to me. And just out of the clear blue, the Lord said to me, because you've walked before me and done what I've told you to do, I'm going to bring your whole family in. I only got a couple more of them to go. He has done it. I have not preached to one of them. Because I found out what my job was in this thing concerning my family. My job was to walk right. That was my job. My job was to do what God tells me to do. That was my job. Because he told me the reason he was going to bring them in is because I walk right before him. It ain't no difference in business. Who do you think you are? I'm just like any believer through any generation. Even go back and look at David. David walked right before God, and God said, you know what I'm going to do? You're always going to have a king sitting on the throne because you walked right, because you did what's right. God is always covenants with people that walk right. He's always, you walk right and he'll do anything for you. He'll do anything for you. And that's why I've never worried about it. I've never worried about my family. People say, do you pray about your family? I don't pray about them at all. I don't need to pray. God says he's going to bring them in. If I have to pray to bring them in, then he ain't doing what he said. All I ever do at times when I remember about it, I say, thank you, Lord, for bringing them in. You told me you would. Hallelujah. And you guys know it's like my older sister, you know, when she died. And they said, you know, she's going to die and she would have nothing to do with Jesus. She hated hearing the gospel. But she had a brother who walked right and got a promise from God. And when they told me she was going to die, I said, she can't leave this earth till she accepts Jesus. She cannot. Well, I was told, yeah, but she's really unserious. She ain't serious enough that God can't fulfill his promise. That ain't ever happened. Nobody ever came that close to death that God can't fulfill his promise. That's never happened. And I thought if he's going to have to raise her from the dead, then he's going to have to do that. But one way or the other, she can't leave this earth till this thing gets straight. Hallelujah. And in 2 days' time, she was born again. Hallelujah. 2 days' time, she got, hallelujah, never lived for God a second. Turned around, got born again, went off to heaven. Hallelujah! God's good. That ain't for Ed. What was for David and what were his and his posterity? It's for yours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you are kings and priests, aren't you? The Bible says so. You're kings and priests. Glory to God. Go out there this week and live like one. Hallelujah. Go out there and live this week like God is waiting for me to ask Him for something. He's waiting for me to respond to Him so He can do something. He's waiting for me, and He is. Hallelujah. He is. God bless you. Have a glorious week.